You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis, if you would, chapter 1, 2, 3. And we've been looking at the person of God as he defines himself, describes himself, helps humans understand who he is and how to deal with him, how to live with him. And thus we looked at the names of God as he progressively develops his name. Remember, the name is for people, not the person's name is not for the person. The person's name is for others. So that you want to remember that. Person's name is for other people. So that other people can know something by way of the name. Lawyer, judge, father, etc. Now, in the light of that, and keeping that in mind, we came to another name that he gives in progression as he works. And that was the Lord, I am the Lord God who sanctifies you. Now, and thus we looked at that, and just to give you to keep in mind, 1 Peter and Leviticus 11, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's required. That's a requirement to be in the presence of God safely, rightly, with all the benefits and with all the blessings. It's required. Be holy, for I am holy. That's required. And without it, if that isn't true, I'm not going to go anywhere. So now, having said that, and keeping in mind that God is holy, he is the standard for holiness. So if you want to know what holy, what kind of holiness, God is the standard for it. And thus, all aspects of God, the whole person of God, all his attributes, in the light of his nature, in the light of his essence, in the light of his being, is holy. So his love is holy. His righteousness is holy. His joy is holy. His peace is holy. His judgment is holy. His wrath is holy. His anger is holy. Everything about God, in any way, shape, or form, is holy. So what is holiness then? God is the standard for it. And thus God and sin, of course, put us humans out of business, disconnected us from God. So now, God, in your outworking of exercise that we need to know and understand, and I would remind you that separation, when you think of sanctification, holy separation, which is the root, you'll see, the idea of it, the word. And the separation is to something. So you don't want to think of from this side to that side. You don't want to think of from. You want to think of to. You don't say the from, I'm going to something. And the issue is not the act of going as much as it is the fact of going. The fact of going from to. And the issue is, to help you, another word, is destination. Where are you going to? This is the destination, the fact I have been moved into this place, this destination. From some place to some place. If you keep that, that'll help you. Now, over, if you would please, in your Bible, over to Genesis, which you may have already arrived at. And in the process of that, in Genesis chapter 2, remember God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days. And when you come to chapter 2, and remember the end of chapter 1, verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Not 6 days. Now on the seventh day, chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. He's resting on the seventh day. And he did it. He did all his work. Everything is done. It's a finished thing. So he's finished with it, and he's resting. And God blessed, verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it and set it apart. Remember, sanctified, to be clean, pure, consecrated, holy, saintly, separated, sanctified, all of those words. And it has to do with to be clean, pure, pure. And the word, back where you'll see it, is separation. Separation. Clean, pure, separate. Now, in the light of that, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He set it apart. He made it holy, holy, holy. And because, and the reason he did that, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God had created and made. So God, he did all of this, and then he set apart the seventh day, a difference. He set it apart because he isn't working now. He's resting, resting. He's resting. Different thing. He's doing something that he wasn't doing, going from work to rest. Now, over if you would to Exodus chapter 20. Now remember, humanity, up until through the days of Noah, did they understand that? Did they benefit from that? No. Their unbelief left them with no benefits. That God had finished something, and they were to enjoy, for instance, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were to enjoy something God finished. God picked the garden. Everything was in order. God made the animals. Everything is in order. It's finished. Now you enjoy. He rested. You enjoy, Adam and Eve, enjoy the finished work of God in the Garden of Eden. He set it apart for you. He set apart all of the time that they were living, and the days, 7 days. But people, is no record of really any substance to say that they ever understood that. Did they understand the rest that God gave? No. And that's why Noah's name, Noah. There was no rest during the days of Noah. Things were bad. The ground was horrible. They were in great, God had cursed the ground, and they were having great problems in attitude and action, etc. And God raised up a Noah rest. Noah would give rest by the Genesis flood to the ground. Rest. Now, in Exodus chapter 20, and you would note, if you would, in chapter 20, and picking up, please, in verse 8, 20 and 8. And let me just get there. 20 and 8. And the commandments now. Here's the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Holy, there's your word, all the time. Holy, sanctified, sanctified, saintly, holy, sanctified, set apart, over and over again. Word, thus, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. He rested on the seventh day. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Why not? Verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, since he rested, the Lord blessed the seventh Sabbath day and hallowed it, or sanctified it, or made it holy. All the word, each time, it's the same word. Made it holy. He sanctified it. He hallowed it. He made the day holy. A wonderful, wonderful thing. He made it holy. Now, and thus he hallowed that day. Did they honor the day? Did they honor the seventh day? Did they honor the God who had given rest? He had finished something. So humans are not going to try to make it happen. God has already made it happen. So all humans were to do were to enjoy what God had done. And everything that God made, Genesis 1:31, was very good. And they were to enjoy it. They weren't to have to sweat. Sin made them sweat, didn't it? By the sweat of their brow. God cursed the ground. They lost out. And thus they continued to lose out. You have a Methuselah, you have an Enoch, you have people like that, and then you have a Noah. But they're only individuals that get it. The rest of the world is plowing along until you have the days of Noah and you only have 8 people. They don't understand the rest. So what are you going to do with Israel? Israel is to be a testimony to the whole world about God. About God's wonderful, he's the creator, and he is the redeemer, and he makes it all happen. So all humans are to come to grips with God, a holy God. And thus Israel, since the world isn't paying attention, then God raised up an Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and an Israel. And Israel, by way of Moses, is to pay attention. Pay attention. And what did they do? The law, what did they do in the fourth commandment? They practiced, here's the whole world around them, everywhere, all over, wherever they were, all over the place. And here's this little nation, and they're practicing the law. They're practicing the Sabbath. Seventh day, seventh month, seventh year, 50th, they're doing it every time, all over the place. And they don't work. On the seventh month, the seventh year, they don't work. Everything God does the year before will suffice into the next year. It's sufficient. God wants you to rest and learn. And you know from Hebrews 4, what did they fail to do? They failed to enter into rest. What is God telling us, believers? Do you understand? They didn't rest. Are you learning to rest in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ? You don't help him. You don't work at it. You enjoy working out what he works within. But you aren't doing it. You're enjoying the finished work of Christ. And therefore you have to rest. God is satisfied, and you learn to be rightly satisfied in that resting. Now, so here, if you can, over if you would please, to Exodus chapter 3. Just following that kind of thought. Here is Moses, and Moses is going to lead the people, and you know the text, context. And in Exodus chapter 3, after 40 years of wandering around the same old place up there with a few sheep, up and around, and that's what he does. And on the 80th year, thereabouts, God stops him. He's been by the area all kinds of times. And the bush that he just normally passed was on fire and didn't burn. Normally a bush like that would burn up and it wouldn't be there. But it's still there. Just burns. and nothing is consumed. And so therefore Moses stopped, remember, I'll read it, in verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet. Why? For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. God's there. Wherever God is, holy. When God disappears from the temple, it's unholy. When God's in the temple, it's holy. When God's in the bush, it's holy. When God's missing from the bush, it's unholy. God has to be there. And when God is there, the person is smart enough to honor God. Be holy, for I am holy. So here in its holy ground, verse 6, and moreover he said, I am the Lord, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And they've been 400 years making brick and slave, and it got worse and worse and worse. And God said, I know, it's time to do it. Now, the people already know, but God is. And so here they are, and they're going to go, and God is going. Moses understands God is holy. That's why he'll be able to go up to Mount Sinai with all the fire and brimstone and nothing to it. He understands what you do. What do you do in the presence of God? How do you handle the presence of God? He knew what to do. Be holy. Now watch. And thus with that in mind, overview in Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. And in Exodus chapter 4, picking up, please, in the thought, if I can, in Exodus 4, verse 22. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, remember God dealing with Moses, thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. He's the first one born. Israel, as a nation, is my firstborn. Of all the nations, Genesis chapter 10, here they all are. And I have taken out of them a nation. It's the first and only one I'm going to take for a given purpose to reach all of them. They're firstborn. Very, hang on to the word, special. Special. Hang on to that. I hope I can get it to you. Now, in chapter 4, verse 23. And I say unto thee, let my son go. Why? That he may serve me, and if thou wilt refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. So here is Israel, is being summoned out into the Sinai, out of Egypt, and Pharaoh is to let him go. And now, you know, in the 10 plagues, the last one, Pharaoh paid attention to none of them, and that's why the 10th one happened. God said, I'll take your son. If you don't let my first Israel go, I will take your firstborn son. And you'll know that I told you to pay attention to me. Now watch, watch. And thus, in the light of that, or if you would, in your Bible, chapter 11. Chapter 11. In chapter 11, and remember now, in just picking up in verse 5, so you see it, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of animal, every firstborn cow, every firstborn goat, every firstborn sheep, every firstborn pigeon, every firstborn ant, is going. They're all going to die. I'm going to give you a message. I'm going to give you a message, Pharaoh, and to Israel, about Israel as my firstborn. Now, thus, skipping down if I can, verse 7, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast. Why is that? That you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. He's going to move them from this side, Egypt, to that side. He's going to move them. He's going to separate them. He's going to sanctify them and make them holy. In Egypt, no, but I'm going to separate you as a people. You're my firstborn. Now, or if we would to chapter 13. Chapter 13 and in verse 2. I'll read the verse because that's why your Bible is the Bible. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify, set apart, consecrate, make clean, pure. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by the strength of the hand of the Lord, the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. You were the firstborn nation. I took all of Israel out. I didn't take part of Israel out. I didn't ask anyone that wanted to stay in Israel. I didn't even give you a choice. Go, or they'll kill you. Go. He didn't give them a choice. He sanctified them. He set them apart and moved them out. And thus, they were the firstborn nation, a whole people. God, and the Egyptians, Pharaoh, did you understand? You lost your son and every single person and every single animal. The firstborn died. Did you understand that, Pharaoh? No, Pharaoh's going to charge and do what he does. So Pharaoh, no, you don't get it. All right, Israel, you are going to get it. You are going to understand that you are the firstborn and you're mine. But I'm going to teach you that because I want your heart in this. I want your heart. So I'm going to teach you that you are the firstborn. You are sanctified. You are special, and you have special privilege. And I'm going to teach you. Therefore, set apart the firstborn. And, picking it up, please, in verse 2 again, and the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. All mine. Now, so when you keep reading, you'll keep saying, and everything is mine. I want you to know when you take the firstborn, I take everything that comes after it. That's why in tithing, you first, what are you doing? You're recognizing everything you have comes from God. God didn't ask for 90%, as it were, or any percentage for us. We just give from the heart. But for Israel, they give a tenth, because 90% is to be understood that God owns it all. And how do you acknowledge God owns it? By 10%, by tithing. And they did. You remember Israel with all that. Israel gave up to 30% of what they did in all of their offerings and tithes and everything. And so here's Israel, and Israel is to understand that the firstborn of all Israel, everything is mine. Now, when I say the Levites are mine and the firstborn are mine, I want you to know that is a reminder to every boy and girl and man and woman in Israel, you're all mine. You are my collective firstborn. You're my firstborn nation. Now, having said that, I tried to say it, chapter 15. And you'll notice in chapter 15, they've crossed the Red Sea and the Song of Moses, etc. And when you sing that song or read that song, which was sung, verse 11, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness?" Holiness. You are distinctly different. That's right. Different. Different. Holy. You aren't like anything else. That's right. I'm not. I'm the Creator. Everything else is created. You see? The wood can't be like the carpenter that made it. Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious and holiest, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And God, you are holy." That's right. He said, "Be holy, for I am holy." And thus, sliding down if I can, to verse 16. "Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till all the people pass over, which thou hast purchased." You purchased them. That's right. I bought them. That's why they had the blood, remember, that every Jew person, wherever the blood was put on the doorpost and lintel and that, wherever the blood went, the people that were behind the door where the blood was didn't die when the angel of death went through up and down every house in Egypt, the land of Egypt. Wow. And God spared them because it cost God his son to do that. And thus they are to remember that they are the firstborn and they are a purchased possession. It cost God to get them from where they were, make believe over here, to get them over here. To get them to God. To get them from the fact indeed that they are truly belonging to God. And we shared together last time or somewhere to remind you that Israel, once God claimed them, no one can ever claim them again. No one can ever have them. All nations, they'll be scattered among the nations, but they're never absorbed by the nations. They're always a remnant, a remnant, a remnant, a remnant. You just had an election where you had a little place down there where they were congregated in New York. The Jews separated. They never can be anyone's except God's, ever, ever. That's wonderful. They're special. And God honors his holiness, his sanctifying grace. Thus, if you could, in Exodus chapter 19, Exodus chapter 19, and you are familiar with Exodus 19 and in verse 6. "And ye shall be unto me," 19 and 6. "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and holy," sanctified, consecrated, "holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Thus, verse 14. "And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified," set the people apart. He set them apart. He said, "You are no longer in Egypt. You are at the foot of Mount Sinai. And God is God. Remember, God said, the place where your feet are standing is what? Holy ground. What are you people doing here at the foot of Mount Sinai? You're on holy ground. Who's in the top of that mount? God is. It's holy ground. Holy ground. You see? Now, and thus, wash your clothes. Holiness, sanctification, means to clean, to make clean, pure, clean. No mixture, no nothing impure, just perfect purity. Wow, clean. And they were to clean their clothes. Interesting enough, just a little sidelight. You know how the water problem, you have a water, you got over 2 million people and all the animals, and you'd want to have water to drink, right? Well, they had plenty of water to do the laundry. So you just consider how generous God is with water and how much water they had, because they could do all their laundry. They had to clean all their clothes. And when they were ready, God would speak to them, and they all had clean clothes on. They were in attendance before God, and they were clean before God. Thus. And thus, in chapter 19, and in verse 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at nether part of the mountain, down in the bottom, the lowest part. Here they are, down in the bottom. Wow! And there's God. And they knew it. Because, man, you can just, if you hope that storm never comes down from that mountain, oh, we're gone. Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. You see? Wow. So now, having said that, over to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. And so that you can get, as we said earlier, the word sanctify, holy, be holy, which God requires. You cannot get along with God as a believer unless you understand and practice being sanctified. Otherwise, you're there, but you're carnal, fleshly. But I'm sincere. I sing. I preach. I can't help it. You don't qualify. Be holy. It's qualified. I didn't ask about your intellect. I didn't ask about your skill. I said you had to be holy. And then we'll proceed with whatever we're going to do. Now, having said that, Leviticus, here in these three or four verses, you'll have the whole substance of separation so that you have no question of it. The word sanctify, holy, separate, to be separate. Verse 24, but I have said unto you, you shall inherit the land, their land, and I will give it to you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Separated, holy, I sanctified you. I set you apart from this side to that side. That's what I did. I took you from Egypt to the wilderness, to Sinai. Verse 25, and ye shall therefore put difference. You're not the same. You aren't in the same place anymore. You can't think the same, do the same, be the same. You're changed. You're in a new location. You wash your clothes. You're new. You're on the right side now. You went from that side to the right side. And thus, you shall therefore put difference between clean beast and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated, there's your word, I have separated from you as unclean. And so here you are, you're a people out there in the Sinai, you're trying to learn, what does it mean to be separated, sanctified, holy? Well, here's all the things, don't touch that food, don't touch, wear this, eat that, you can't eat that, that bug is dirty, that bug is unclean, that one isn't. There's no problem with the bugs or the animals, as you know later. Peter will tell you, that's an issue. What are you trying to do, God? He tells you, he's trying to teach difference. Think differently. Don't think the same. Think differently. And I'm going to teach you how to do it. So every day you say, whoops, I can't do that. I can't do this. And you're learning to make distinction so that you think differently. Now, and in verse 26, and ye shall be holy, there's your word again, unto me. For I, the Lord, am holy, the reason, and have severed, there's your reason again, separated you from other people, that you should be mine. That's why the firstborn, the Levites, are all mine. Their animals are mine. And that to remind you that you are all mine. You all belong to me. And I give you freedom to goof and louse it up. But the Levites are set apart. They're a set apart group to be a constant reminder to you that you are the firstborn of Israel. You are sanctified. You are a people sanctified. Now, having said that, in Leviticus chapter 11 again, Leviticus chapter 11, and you will notice in verse 44, "For I am the Lord your God, and you shall therefore sanctify yourselves," that's right, consecrate yourself, clean, pure, set apart, holy, you should be holy, for I am holy. "Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Skipping down for time's sake, verse 47. "To make a difference between the unclean and the clean, between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten." You're going to learn to be holy. You're going to practice that being with me is different than being with Pharaoh. I am governor and I am the God to you. You don't worship hundreds of idols and you don't bow down to Pharaoh. You bow down to God and you worship him. And that's sanctified. And they're learning. They're to learn that. They could all sit together in the same place, but they aren't all in the same place. But they all have the same atmosphere in which to learn, in which to distinguish. Thus, Leviticus 22, and in verse 32. Leviticus 22 and 32. "Neither shall ye profane, make common, my holy name, but I will be hallowed, sanctified, made holy among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you, I sanctify you," it's a participle, "I am setting you apart." Be set apart. Pay attention to what I'm trying to teach you and be special. Be set apart. Understand, you're not the same. I separated you from mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife. I separated you to be mine. Numbers. Numbers chapter 3. In Numbers chapter 3, you would note, please, in verse 12, remember the firstborn now. Here's your banging away the lesson again. Chapter 3, verse 12. And behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine. Verse 13. Because all the firstborn are mine, for on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed, set apart, I sanctified unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast, mine they shall be, I am the Lord, they are mine. Verse 41, "And thou shalt take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites, instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel." And thus, verse 45, "Take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of all their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine, I am the Lord." And you understand, as you live in Israel, what do you know about the Levites? They can do what you can't do. They can go in the holy place. They can carry the articles. They serve in the priesthood. All the rest of us are out there looking at them. And God has said, "Listen, I set them apart. so that you could learn that you are set apart. Now, if you paid attention to the Levites, I did that. Otherwise, there would be no Israel, because your heart's wrong. Your heart's wrong, and you cannot be unholy, common, before an uncommon God. You must be holy before a holy God. You must be. It's required. You're my firstborn. Now, having said that, understanding that God is different from people, but God is not very remote. You say God is transcendent, way up there. And transcendence, distance, way out beyond. But when it comes to God, it includes uniqueness. He is present, different. We did it in holiness, remember, 100 years ago. Holiness, difference. We're in the presence of God, but he's different. And therefore, in our earthly being, we try to comprehend an invisible, infinite God, and we're stuck. We're stuck. We can't do it. Now, God, you have made it wonderfully so that you are distinctly, wonderfully holy and different. And thus, God, you are other than all others. You are awesomely different God. Awfully awesome different God. Now, having said that, and we're in his presence. You're in his presence. Now, hang on. I'm going to try to get it. I won't have do very well here, but try to get it. Over, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Again, Hebrews 10. And in Hebrews chapter 10, picking up, please, in thought, chapter 10, verse 9. Our Lord Jesus Christ, why did you die on the cross? Because, 10:9 Hebrews. Then said he, sacrifices and offering, burnt offerings, verse 8, and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hast thou pleasure therein which are offered by the law. In other words, all the animals, killing a whole lot of sheep, doesn't solve the problem. Doesn't answer it. The only one answer is there has to be a sacrifice that satisfies you, God. And thus, God, where are we going to get a sacrifice that sacrifices you? God said, I will provide, Genesis 22, I will provide the sacrifice. I will send myself in my Son. Now, Chapter 10, verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By which will, God's will, we are sanctified by God's will. Through, how are we sanctified? Set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We are set apart once for all. Verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. God, you did something. That's right. Something very wonderful. You didn't have a thing to do with it. I didn't have a thing to do with it. God did it. And all God says, that's the gospel, is that God is offering you and believers to exercise, and for unbelievers to be saved, to understand that God has made it possible to bring the heart of an unsaved person into a relationship to God that allows God in Christ to provide for them holiness and sanctification in his Son. And they are set apart in Christ. And God can look at them and live with them, not because of their old nature, but because of his Son, the Holy Son of God. And you could live. You could live. Wow. Now, having said that, verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, as we just mentioned. Sanctified. Now, keeping that in mind, God set apart his Son. And God did the setting apart. We didn't do it. We didn't have a thing to do with it. God had a plan. He executed the plan. He didn't ask our permission or our insight or our like or dislike. God just plain old did it. Thank you. Chapter 10 of John. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, picking up, please. Oh, in verse 36. Say ye of him of whom the Father hath sanctified. God the Father sanctified his Son. And sent into the world. Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. I'm not a liar. I'm telling you the truth. God sent me. God set me apart. In Bethlehem of Judea, born of the Virgin Mary, God set me apart. And here I am. And I have been sanctified, set apart, made holy, consecrated by God. And now you're saying I'm off base? No. Thus, over to John 17 in closing. It isn't a closing, it's just time is gone. I would like you to get there, but John chapter 17, verse 19. For their sakes, 17 and 19. And for their sakes, I sanctify, for the believer, for the heart, the seeker, the God-fearer, for their sakes, I sanctify, I set myself apart, that they might be sanctified. So God set his Son apart. The Son of God, being set apart, volunteered to be set apart. God, since I'm set apart, then I'm going to fulfill the reason I am sanctified, made holy, set apart. I'm going to fulfill that reason, and here I am, not thy will, not my will, but thy will be done. And he went and sanctified him so that he could sanctify us. Otherwise, we can't be sanctified. He yielded to make it possible. Now, I wish I could get time now, but do you understand? I can't even turn the Bible. I'm not even going to do it. Do you understand that God made Israel, Deuteronomy 7, etc., 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 a very special people? They were above all nations of the earth. Do you understand that? And do you know that God has never violated their specialness all through these centuries? And do you know God, and his Israel, I told you that earlier, God has kept them. They're off base, but God has got them out there, set apart. He's going to find 144,000 pretty soon among them and do whatever he is in the tribulation. And there they are all out there, and God has them out there, and they're special. And everything God does, if I was a Jew, I wouldn't be an unsaved Jew very long, but if I was a Jew, I would say, God, you have made us special, sanctified. And here we are in the thick and thin of the world, the nations and anti-Semitism and all kind of war and everything else trying to survive. But God, and they do, they have a great trust in God to believe God and no one helping them, maybe not even us. And they're going to stand there in that little plot of land and go against all the Muslim world if they need to. Wow. God, they're special. They are. And God honors them. If you're a believer, you are special. Do you understand that? You are sanctified. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Christ has made unto us sanctification. He sets you apart. And you, if you're truly, truly, that's why we press it. You've got to be truly saved. And if you aren't, it isn't going to go anywhere. You're sanctified. You're special. And you don't take a breath that you aren't special to in the presence of God. And God works and outworks. That's why we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That's why we know that all things work together for what? For good. How can you possibly say that? Because you're special. Very special. And you live like that. You walk like that. You think like that. And God is there to do what He has all the people in work, home, school, all around your neighborhood. And you, if you're saved and they aren't, you are special out among them. You are special. And God handles you differently than everyone else in that workplace. He handles you every different than everyone else in the neighborhood, everyone else in the school, everyone else in your home, maybe. Because you're sanctified. And we're bought with a price, and we are what? Not our own. Do you understand? Anyway, thank you for that.